And welcome to In-Game Chat for November 24th, 2008, the official podcast of ColonyGamers.com. You can check us out at InGameChat.net or at the forums over at ColonyGamers.com. We've got the entire crew in here again, minus Dana, who is, well, she's unfortunately working.
Milk emergency.
Yeah. Whatever that means to those of you out there, it's a milk emergency.
It's a milk emergency. Yeah, it's serious business. You know,
it either means something or it sounds funny.
You don't fuck around. Well, both, actually, I think.
She's a milkmaid.
Jeremy's here, Daniel's here, James is here, and, of course, I am here as well, Scott.
Scott's not here.
I'm not here. So, it's been a good weekend. I've got a lot of game time in. I don't know about you guys. I know from James, he's been stuck over at WoW.
I got a decent amount of game time in. Yeah, I got hours. Variety, not so much.
Well, I had a good variety. I had a good variety.
Dana decided she was going to, because we were going to play Left 4 Dead.
That's right.
I had a copy, and I had a lot of other things I was going to play, but she had a real... Surreal thing this weekend for playing Fallout, so I didn't, you know, I didn't want to kick her off the 360.
Yeah, I'd have taken you or her.
She didn't. No, she didn't want to play that. She wanted to play Fallout.
Yeah,
she didn't want to play on the 360. She wanted to play Fallout. That was what her free time this weekend was all about. And I wasn't about to drag her off of that. I got, you know, I had Lich King to play. Like, I would like to have played some stuff on the consoles for a little bit of variety, but I didn't. I gave her the console for the whole weekend, and it's okay.
You know, speaking of Fallout, I watched my first Netflix via 360 movie.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a Netflix subscriber.
Before. Oh, yeah. I've been a Netflix subscriber for eons. It's a family tradition of the Auchinpaws. But, yeah, Six String Samurai was the first one. And
nice.
The movie in forever.
I need to put that in there.
Yeah, it's on there. Like, I was surprised it's on the little instant thing. I was like, awesome. I haven't watched this movie in years. This is great. And, dude, some of the little, like, Wasteland guys, I was like, man, this is so Fallout. Those guys watch this movie.
Yeah.
So,
but Netflix worked for
the
you,
post-nuclear.
Okay?
Yeah, it worked fine.
Yeah, I love that.
The only thing that I really don't care for in that regard, and I know that it's not the case in any thing. It's just like I like deleted scenes. I like alternate endings.
I wonder why that's not.
I like things like that that simply aren't available to you when you download the file. You know, over one of the.
Right.
Whatever network you choose to download, I think it's really great. And if you're looking for like a quick hit or something, that's
well, and something like that,
totally,
which is like a movie that I've seen, you know.
No, yeah. Like if you're looking for a one-off, or if it's like something that really you can pretty much certify for yourself that you don't give a shit
for all the extras, like what
might be there. But it's like for a lot of things, it's like
for Wally, dude. There's no way I would just. Stream Wally, like
no.
I want all the rest of that crap.
I need the Blu-ray. Like I really like feeding Blu-ray discs into my PS3 because there's generally an awful lot of like.
I was going to bring up Blade Runner, but
weeks
Wally
away.
Works.
Do it.
I'm weeks away.
Yeah. So that's the only reason I'll never get down with that stuff. I like the extra things that come on discs a lot of times. I don't. Don't have a big problem with it. I'll just be at the screen, and it's like, oh, I'd like to download it. I'll spend a few, you know, points on this. And it's like, but there might be something neat on the disc. I'll just go rent the disc from the brick and mortar. So,
the Blu-rays are always higher bitrate anyway, end up being better quality than any of the internet streaming stuff.
Now, I will say that before it adjusted, the streaming was really, actually, I was very surprised. Like, the initial 5-minute chunk that came, and then it was like, whoa, that's way too much for your bandwidth. We're gonna par that down a little bit. And then I was like, okay, this is more what I expect from streaming. But it wasn't bad by any means. It was just, it came through, like, really, really sharp, like, HD quality at first, and then it was like, yeah, that's not gonna work out with your connection.
Yeah. We need to renegotiate the situation for the next,
67
minutes or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, but after that, after it did it that one time, once it, I think, gauged my connection a little better. I didn't have a single, like, hiccup, nothing.
You should have seen it during the preview.
was it pretty bad?
Oh, it was wonderful, because nobody was using it.
Yeah, well, I guarantee that my problems were on my end, not on Netflix. Then.
And by your end, you mean provider?
Charter, yeah.
Yeah.
Charter, low-speed internet, yeah, it's very nice.
High-speed dial-up.
Exactly. Yeah.
What else did you play?
I finished Keith. Well, finished Keiflings in the term that I like. Built all the buildings for my little
Kingdom.
I saw you going to town on that.
Yeah, yesterday. Like, I played some Friday, I played some Saturday, and I've just realized that I was, like, laying buildings out wrong, and it was not efficient. And so Sunday, I just sucked it up, and I said, you know, I'm going to start over. I'm going to start to finish. I'm just going to do it. Because, you know, the wife is at work or whatever. So I pulled it up, and I was just, I blitzed it, and just, boom, all the way through. So it was very satisfying. I know that, man, they're going to nickel and dime DLC off that for eons. Because it's actually, at least on my friends list, it's showing up a ton. There's always, like, three or four guys playing it. I think that it's going to... The DLC... And I'm wondering if it's just because it's the first real major Avatar-using game that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that they've done really well, and that they'll probably start to DLC here pretty quick to take advantage of the rush of popularity. So, I did that, and then I played a lot of Left 4 Dead. Whole lot of Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, we, me, you, and...
That was Friday. Friday night that we did that?
Got into some Left 4 Dead on Friday night. We played we went through the first level, the No Mercy campaign.
Yeah, we did that,
Because Jeremy hadn't played a full campaign.
Right.
Yet, and so we were like, hey, let's go through this. And in order to play Versus, since they split you up as part zombie, part survivors, you kind of needed the level layout. As a survivor, during the Versus mode, as a survivor... It's so much different than the gameplay for just the campaign.
You need to hurry.
You go from this place to this place, and you move. You constantly move because the other players who are spawning as zombies see where you're at, and they can position themselves where they want to spawn.
Yeah, but they're on a spawn timer is the key. So, I mean, you kill them, you got a good 15 to 20 seconds that you ain't got to worry, so haul ass.
Yeah. The gameplay is such that if you have if you're playing of a team of the same skill level as your own, there tends to be an awful lot of stalemate.
Right.
It's won by just a few points in either direction.
It's a lot of like which comes down to like who got a few more feet in the level.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives you score based on distance.
If you do manage to get to the end, you have to have more than one person at the end to get any real benefit out of it. Because it gives you a multiplier based on how many people got to the end. So if you only got one, that doesn't mean dick. You get two, and it essentially doubles your score.
Because our first one of our playthroughs, we got to the safe house in that first part that you do in No Mercy. Or the demo level that everybody's played. And I think, was it all four of us that got through?
Three. We had three of us.
We had three of us get through, and our points got multiplied up, but we were like around the 600 mark.
Yeah.
And the guys before us were in the, 100 digits? Yeah. Maybe? Or like 100, 100
maybe
points 100, or something
maybe.
Like that?
Because we shut them down pretty quick.
We're like, damn, we're nice. Building. This is good. This is a good start.
Yeah, man. You know? Like, you get it off that first level, you're pretty confident.
We're okay. And so that's how it was. I was really impressed with the multiplayer. I wasn't sure how it was going to work.
Versus really needs more than the two campaigns, though.
Yeah, man, that's such a bummer.
It's coming. It's just that I don't know why we only have the two campaigns, but the two maps, basically, essentially, is all they give you for the Versus.
So half of your levels are kind of null and void when you're doing Versus.
But the fact that you can play them over and over again and not, I didn't have the same experience. I didn't say, okay, well, they're coming around here, so this is definitely where we can take them. As part of the zombie type thing, because obviously witches spawn in different places. They send the AI director is still in play, and so it'll send
you. He just controls the vanilla zombies, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the specials are only played by people. Except for
you
witches.
Get a boomer, you get the tank, you get the hunter, and you get the smoker.
Tank is mean.
On the regular four-player campaign, though, Advanced is a son of a bitch.
Did you try some of that?
We were trying last night.
Yeah, right, you were trying. You weren't succeeding. You were trying.
We were trying last night. I don't know which campaign it was. I joined them in the middle of it, and I haven't played all of them yet.
Right, yeah.
But it ends at a house on a dock.
Okay, that was Blood Toll?
Death Toll.
But we must have tried that a dozen or more times. Probably a couple of dozen times. And we'd always... One time, we had one guy left on the dock, and the boat was coming. And a hunter fucking jumped on him.
Ah!
Right as the boat was coming for him to board.
Yeah.
It's awful. But, I have no idea what Expert must be like.
You gonna buy the game now? It's a rental for you.
Maybe. I don't know. I get the impression I'll probably be done with this in a couple of weeks. And I'm definitely not going to buy the 360 version until I see what they do with the DLC.
That's true.
Because, you know, Valve likes to give away a lot of DLC, but they tend to, you know, past experiences show they get to give it away on the PC, and they have to wait and save up a bunch of shit to give it away.
That method of distribution is so much easier to deal with. If they get something, they can cook things up in lots of little batches. They can serve you a 40-course meal on the PC and send out each thing as it's ready. Whereas, like, they've got to lay out the whole buffet on the console side for it to be cost-effective.
Now, obviously, more versus maps would make this a lot more tasty.
Yeah.
But I don't know how long it'll be until the 360 gets any of that.
But I wonder, though, because, I mean, right now we've got the two versus maps, which are based on, which are actually the bookend campaigns, the first campaign and the last campaign in the single player, the co-op, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So, I mean, if they were going to give us any more maps, it'd just be the two campaigns in the middle.
Well,
I guess.
Yeah. Well, let me ask another thing. Again, not having played it, like, I mean, I played the demo on the 360, of course, but, like, I'm having the sensation that if I were to ever actually own it, to decide that it's worth owning, as much as I would rather play with the people that I have on my friends list on the 360 because of the ease of use of the matchmaking and everything, I think I would actually swing back over to the PC. Not just for the reasons that you mentioned, but I'm a little over a week behind, and I'm just not gonna get the chance, like, any time in the next week to have a copy. I got too many other things to do. And I feel that multiplayer immediacy in play for my friends list, like that time sensitive, very fickle, like, let's get absolutely everything we can out of this, and then let's get ready for the next thing,
whatever that
might be. So by the time I come around, I wonder what's going to be happening in there. Whereas on the PC, like, I know that,
dudes.
Yeah, and I know the greatness of Team Fortress applies, but it's also related, again, as you said, to the ease of distribution of new stuff. And have a couple guys constantly working to throw stuff out and just constantly improve Left 4 Dead on the PC. Because it's probably just going to sit there and soak for a while doing what it is on the 360. Not that that's really bad. It's just, like, by the time I get to it, it's probably still going to be pretty lively on the PC side. That's my prediction, my assumption, my supposition. I don't really know if that's
I've been kind of disappointed every time I look at my friends list on my 360 and there hasn't been a critical mass of Left 4 Dead players on it.
There hasn't been a critical mass of anything on mine.
I was going to say it's been very diverse. Well, I was going to say, like,
with the past couple weeks, I think it really
just... You can't chuck a rock without it landing on a game worth spending your time on right now.
Yeah.
So to honestly expect for the friends list to be sort of, like, uniform and in lockstep, like, for everybody to toe the Left 4 Dead line, like, well, like, I guess it doesn't make sense. Like, it kind of made sense, you know, with a few things that were out earlier. But, yeah, at this point, it's like everybody's just kind of scattered.
And
even then, those
few things, you know, weren't... I think maybe next year this will be a little social tracking project idea. I really wish I would have thought of it this year. But, like, track how uniform your friends list goes as it gets further into the holiday release schedule, because... Yeah. Man, I'll tell you what, towards, you know, early October, new game comes out, it's almost unanimous. But
And the last time my friends list was unanimous was Fable 2.
Yeah, that might have been.
Fallout was interesting, but
Fallout was close.
Fallout was noteworthy because my 360 friends list was filled with people playing a PC game.
PC, yeah.
But the last time it was absolutely uniform for values greater than, say, 18 people online, you know, like approaching a couple dozen people on my friends list simultaneously, concurrent users, was Fable 2.
Yeah.
That was it.
As we've gotten farther into the holiday release,
for me, it was GTA 4. With the amount of friends I had, man.
You don't count.
But to see your friends list that many people on, like, it's rare to... Anytime I turn on my...
You didn't have that kind of uniformity with Fable?
No, not as much. There were mixes in with Dead Space.
Yeah, I was about to say, how many people do you normally see online when you get on?
I usually have about 15 20, people.
About 14, 15.
Really?
Yeah, I have about... Yeah. I have about...
I thought it'd be much more for you since you have a full
podcast. I have about that many.
Yeah.
Man,
about that many.
I get on in the weekday evening.
I'm actually not that far below the cap now, so...
Yeah. But, you know, it was...
I'm clocking 20.
Anytime I see... Anytime I turn on my 360...
Like 16, 18.
At least it used to be that way. Now I can just flip on over and it shows whatever. But
you know, and maybe we should clarify, you know, for people listening that don't know us, one of the reasons that it's such a big deal to have people on your friends list playing the game you want to play is because nobody here that I know of likes playing with strangers.
No.
Yeah, no. You know. Playing with strangers that's not fun.
Obviously, there'll be plenty of people on the 360 to play with, but none of them that we want to play with.
Yeah. Well, it's just, though, I do wonder as sometimes, we get to the end of the holiday season, there's nothing coming out to, like, shove everyone away now.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we've got our games, we just jump back and forth, because that's what I'm going to be doing, is, like, jumping back and forth with all the holiday stuff now.
And finishing the digestion of, like, this big thing, where it's like, you know...
Yeah, well, we grabbed, you know, Friday night, we grabbed Frog Gun, and I was like, maybe he wants to play. And he jumped in.
He's like, yeah, I was waiting for somebody.
I was like,
we're
going to play some Left 4 Dead. You okay? He's like, man, that's what I was waiting for, somebody to throw me a hook so I could grab that line.
Yeah.
That's, you know, he's just waiting for someone to get on and do it.
There are things I have no problem playing with strangers on, usually adversarial things.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, whatever.
As long as the pool was, well, the Call of Duties, it was a perfect example. Everything was, like, so calculated and so perfectly manipulated so that, like, you can all get on, you can do your, you can fulfill your role and to almost 100%
you don't really need
rate of guarantee, they can't really fuck you up unless you're playing in hardcore. And then usually the community, like the group of people playing at that moment,
the kind of people that play in hardcore usually don't tolerate people effing around.
No. So.
Because they're hardcore. Clearly.
They are. So, yeah.
But Left 4 Dead's not that way, man.
No, it's really not.
Yeah,
like,
you really can't have, like...
That's another reason I've totally balked at it. It's like, well, like, I only want to play this with people on my friends list or friends of friends, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, if I'm not 100% sure what those guys are doing at any given point in time, it's like, maybe, like, am I going to miss the boat, you know? Like,
right, right.
Am I going to be left sitting on the dock with a, you know, to conjure some previously mentioned survival imagery?
You know, I will say that, like, if you... There are people that you want to play games with, and you want to play games with them more, or, you know, see what they're like. That's a good way to tell. Test the waters.
Yeah.
Because I played last night, I hopped on, and this is, I mean, I haven't had a problem getting a Left 4 Dead game on my friends list, but it's not by any means unanimous. But I never have a, there's always somebody on. So I got on last night, and some of the Move Pack guys were playing.
Oh, great.
And they're a party of three, and they're playing Left 4 Dead, and I was like, aha. This is my opening, my slot. So I jumped in with them, and I hadn't played with these guys before and anything, you know. Hopped in with them, and tell you what, you want to learn to communicate with people real quick. Left 4 Dead will do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we played through Death Toll. Did all right.
Something I wanted to tell you about, James, was when we were playing the versus mode, it really is a different kind of game. Because you have to, one of the calls you have to learn to make is because it's so important to get multiple people to the end of the level, you can't always save your friends.
Right.
You have to learn when you just have to leave somebody behind, which is really funny from the zombie point of view. You know, when the other guys head off and leave the guy behind, they're like, oh, my God, they're leaving him behind. That's great.
Yeah. So, man, but, you'll just see the team, they'll, like, hesitate, they'll, like, turn,
yeah.
Book it. You just do the outline to the one guy laying on the ground.
There's this one level where you have to make it across kind of a yard. There's a gas station at the end, and there's a lift that all the party at the same time has to take up, and then they run across like an awning and hop in a window. Well, everybody made it across. I was the last guy to go in the window, and then a smoker grabbed me and yanked me out of the window down to the bottom. I was like, well, I can't get back up. So I was like, just go without me.
Yeah.
We didn't make it much farther. we made it about four rooms further, and that was the end of it for us.
But it's, man, love that multiplayer. Loved that. Because I was really curious on how they would do this. What did the zombies see? I mean, how do you control that sort of chaos, unscripted chaos, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. How do you control, how do you put that in a player's hands? And dividing it up into the special abilities and saying, well, you can't spawn here because you're too close to the survivors and they can see you, so you can't spawn here.
Yeah.
You have to find some other place to spawn. When you die, okay, you've got 20 seconds to wait before you can respawn.
In the versus mode,
and then you
don't
need to choose what you spawn at.
It is a lot harder for the survivors.
You just get thrown in a slot.
Oh. It's a lot harder for the survivors to make it to the end in versus mode.
Man,
it's very heavily biased towards the infected.
Yes, it's real mean.
So it's a pretty big fucking accomplishment when you manage to get
there. I don't know, man.
There
was one level we played where we were knocked out in, like, I don't know, 20 seconds. We were done.
Yeah.
They had just gone so far ahead. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, I don't know what it was, lack of communication, lack of coordination.
Mm-hmm.
We just could not.
Yeah, you couldn't
them
slow
down.
Them down.
We couldn't do it. And they
every now and then a team would just get momentum.
Yeah, but it sounds to me like what you're saying is there was this one round.
Yeah.
So it still sounds like the bias.
Every other round, we locked them down pretty hard.
I have not seen survivors make it through the sewer level in versus mode yet.
Oh, no.
Not once.
Heaven, no.
Yeah.
I think maybe only once them make it to the room with the minigun.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I haven't
seen that.
It just doesn't happen.
So it's a very different kind of game. I've been kind of curious as to whether you would even like it or not.
Yeah, I'm not... I will tell you, I'm not...
keen on failing a lot?
Come on. Like, I raid in MMOs.
Oh, yeah, never mind. that is exactly what this
what
is.
What the hell are you talking about? Like,
that is exactly what this is. Ah, party wipe!
Come on. I love raid progression. And everything that comes with that.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. The failing to learn something... as long as learning does occur, is totally fun for me. No, it's just, I think it's the, I don't exactly know how to say it, because the only people I intend to depend upon are people on, like, people I've invited into my friends list or into whose friends list I've been invited or trustworthy others, you know? So it isn't like the dependence on the other people on it. That's totally cool. It's just like, it's the fact that, you know what it is? I've got this very ancient Jeremy above everybody else, I think, will probably understand exactly what I mean. And this goes all the way back to, like, the days when we would set up LAN parties. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking, like, old school, everybody drags their
PC.
65 pounds of, like, PC.
Running through the rain. Running through the rain with your shirt over your case.
Oh,
you know?
God, yeah. Yeah, this is, like, where multiplayer... There's the ghost of terrible scheduling conflicts in every multiplayer experience I've ever had.
Yeah.
Because this is tied to all those old, like, LAN things when it was, like, a very physical pain in the effing ass to get them together. Like, it was... I know. I say that all the time, though. So, there are a lot of times when people would just like, no, I can't play. I'm just not playing this weekend because I cannot muster the energy necessary to unplug the 8,000 cords from the back of my computer,
haul all that shit over
to your place, and like do the thing. Like, it was tough. Like, it was really, really fucking hard. And then later on, and this was a time when, like, where we live, the city we live in, had only just been wired for internet. And, like, having a multiplayer experience over a network was very limited. Well, you played Quake 2 on some server somewhere, or, you know, you'd ping a list and look for some kid's university server where he was, like, hosting on Fat Pipes, and you'd play Quake 2. Or you'd play Tribes. Or maybe, like, if you were way ahead of the curve, you'd be in one of the nascent MMOs, like, you know, EverQuest or something like that, or Ultima or something. But really, like, the kind of thing you get at a LAN party was completely impossible over the network. Only a local network. And even that was, like, talking pre-second edition 98, like, where...
Switches were still expensive and we're using hubs.
Yeah, we're stacking hubs and, like, oh, it's just fucking nightmare.
God.
So for every multiplayer experience, in my mind, somewhere deep down in the basic... you know, thing down in my psyche is all of that stress. There's also the years and years and years and years I've worked in theater, where you work 6 days a week, and by 6 days a week, I mean 6 nights a week. And and the nights are when everybody else wants to do their thing. So you never really get to participate in the same way that other people do. Like, I really love, like, social gaming, but so much of my life has stood between me and social gaming for so often. So there's, like, that pain there. And so I think about Left 4 Dead, and I think about the fact that it isn't just like, you know, I'm going to shoot some guys, man. I just want to tear up some guys. So I'm going to, like, load up Call of Duty 4. And, like, you know, that puts up my flag, and if somebody on the friends list wants to play, I'll get dragged into their party, and that's totally great. If not, still pretty good.
Yeah.
Left 4 Dead for me is so much a...
You gotta have those guys.
You gotta have the guys, and there's gotta be, like, intent, you know? And deliberate, like, we're gonna do this. And somehow I am afraid of that. Somehow I'm afraid of the sitting and waiting and foot tapping and, oh, it just all kind of falls through kind of thing.
You have commitment issues.
What?
You have commitment issues.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about. It's just you know what? Maybe I just won't even go there. Maybe because I'm not like, you know, my ass isn't on fire to play this game. Because I got Fallout. I still haven't gone anywhere with Gears, and I'm really looking forward to playing Gears. Any further than where I was last time we talked, I should say.
Right, right.
Like,
Mirror's Edge, you had mentioned that you're...
Mirror's Edge, I got, like, to where I got in the PS3 version, but I'm going to have to sort of go backward and start over on the 360 version for reasons that I'm not even going to bother going into. But, like, I got the things, and it's, like, that combined with, like, this completely baseless apprehension.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, it's like, just, you guys play it, and you talk about it, and that's great. And I'll tell you how much of a unbelievable pain the fucking ass Borean Tundra is.
Yeah.
I'm leveling my Death Knight. Which, as an aside, I'm not even fucking kidding. Whoever the fuck you guys put in charge of making the quest in Borean Tundra, you can go to hell. Because those are some of the most tedious bullshit quests I've done since fucking, I don't know, Lochmoden or something when I was like a level 12 dwarf.
So, wow.
Yeah, seriously. Howling Fjord, brilliant. Tough environmental design. A lot of level changes, a lot of difficulty getting from point A to point B, very complicated area. But brilliant quests. Brilliant, brilliant quests. Borean Tundra, flat, because, you know, guess what? It's a tundra.
It's a tundra, yeah. That's kind of how they are.
But it's like, I'm a gnome, and I'm in this place where, you know, gnomes do a bunch of bullshit, like lose their tools and, you know, make mechanical things that, you know, fuck everybody.
Wait, hold on. Weren't we doing, like, retrieving tools for gnome quests? Like, isn't that, like, a level 10 quest somewhere?
Yeah, okay. The tedium of the what is it? The salt flats.
South fucking
that,
Christ.
Okay, except literally, like, 30 times that big and full of more gnomes.
God, I hate the salt flats.
And druids that will kill you if you have animal blood on you.
What?
Yeah, there's this joke faction of druids that...
The PETA druids?
Yeah, the PETA druids, that's who they are. The druids for the ethical and humane treatment of animals. And so anytime you kill a beast in Borean Tundra, you get this debuff called animal blood. And if you run across one of the DETA druids, they'll kick your ass. Because you got... It's totally... I mean, it's not a bad place. It's very interesting. A lot of creativity. Just most of it is on the other side of the continent in Howling Fjord. This thing is like, this idiot gnome lost his shit, so I have to go get it. Then I bring it back. And then he's like, well, I also lost this other thing, so go fix this. And pick it up and bring it back. And then go do this other thing and pick it up and bring it back. Never will I allow you to do any two of these things simultaneously.
At the same time. Oh, Christ.
So, I don't normally have a hate-on for gnomes. As much of a ridiculous, pathetic little thing as I think they are. Now I fucking hate gnomes. So, that's my quick little aside.
Because I can't tell you to get two things at once.
Yeah. I'm really displeased with the quest structure and that side. Well, so, yeah. I actually was fairly irritated because that's what I've been doing. And it's like... I really just want to stop doing this and go shoot some stuff somewhere. But again, I think Dana needed the.
She needed to find her dad.
Well, because touching back to the previous show, I don't know what it was, but I got into Fallout, had a number of lockups that calmed down a little bit and stopped being lockups and became little hiccups, where like the game would lock up, but then. Get back on track, like, after 2 or 3 seconds of doing whatever. And then, for both of us, it pretty much ceased. She hasn't had trouble.
Huh.
After, like, this rampant series of bad lockups. So it's like,
someone
everything
to that...
episode
and we're
yeah, right. Whatever it was, whatever was creating these problems, it was for everything that we would have problems in, and I was having problems in other things as well, it would be a massive, concentrated thing of problems that would then sort of... work itself out.
Didn't you say you installed something else?
I installed like 3 other things with the intention of answering some of the questions we posed for ourselves. I installed GTA 4. I was like, well, I'm going to see how texture loading, distance texture loading works.
What'd you find out?
I tried to tell you this earlier. I installed like 3 things but didn't get to play anything because Dana spent the entire...
That's right.
I'm not kidding you. Like, when we were both home and she had time, she was playing the thing, and I didn't want to disturb her. That, what else? Holy shit. That, Rainbow Six, and I guess Gears 2.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But I didn't get to mess with any of those. Terribly sorry. No answers there.
Well,
but
in that vein, though, I do want to mention that I was wondering about Too Human and not, but...
Oh, because we talked about
but a day later, because I was wondering about
right.
the menu.
Well, we were talking
speed.
About menu systems, like loading times, not
right.
strictly
the,
level
the,
loading times, but...
But, like, the overall speed of things, like,
in the game
menus.
Yeah, be it, like, texture
like
loading or game menus
right,
or things
right.
like that. Would those
so,
be sped up?
And, you know, I was voicing my dislike of the loading speed for Too Human in the menu system,
right.
which I spend a lot of time in because I'm an inventory Nazi. and sure enough, Diet
a game about collecting lots and lots of items?
Yeah, I know.
How strange.
It's amazing how that just carries over. It's,
well,
it's a personality trait that's...
Like,
that's,
that doesn't matter. It,
it
could be
out in
it could be a game that's not about collecting items and I will...
No, I'm just saying, like, that's a, like a multiplier. That's like a bonus multiplier.
Yeah.
You're already this way about menus.
Yeah.
Now add the sort of intrinsic need to be that way about
yeah.
menus.
Yeah, exactly. So, I saw Diet pop on his 360, and I just sent him a message, and he was like, that's what I'm trying right now, and he sent me a message back a few minutes later. He's like, man, it's so much faster. You've got to install. So I actually did not get a chance to, but I mentioned it to a couple other people, and they did it, and I got messages
okay,
from all
so,
of them on live.
So this has been verified?
Yes. I just had seen a couple of people playing, just in general. There's a couple people on my friends list that still pop it in occasionally. So I sent them a message, and like, squish a message, because I played a lot with him, and they all did the install and get back with me, and everybody said, man, it's so much quicker.
I'd like
it's
to know.
Smooth as glass now.
I doubt very seriously that anybody still has their copy, but I would like to know how it affected Force Unleashed.
Oh.
I still got mine because I borrowed it.
Well,
I just haven't played it.
Oh, really?
There you go. That's
360. I got it from 360. I got it from
one.
Yeah,
you need to figure that out.
Yeah, well, you know, been playing a lot of the shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I'll try it out then.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm really curious about that one because that game was like
it would pause when it would load when you pause.
Yeah,
the
it
game.
Was. It's
yeah.
It suffered a lot for having a menu.
Oh Jesus Christ! It was horrible, and you know, on top of just how
other problems
bad the game was. But yeah, what I played Left 4 Dead with you guys, and then I played I got Mirror's Edge in Saturday afternoon from GameFly. Like, yay! So I popped it in, and I just kept going and going and going.
Uh-huh. You run around.
Holy
run
shit.
Around,
by the time
around.
I got to your level, which was level
bad.
6,
uh-huh.
I was like, let me knock this. I've ordered a pizza. Let me knock this out before the pizza gets here.
Nice.
I ended
nice.
Up getting all the way to level 8 by the time the pizza got there. I ate my pizza. Then I jumped back in, knocked out the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was done by midnight, put it back in its slip. Folded it up. I put it in the mailbox this afternoon. It's,
now, what system did you play on?
360.
Okay.
No lockups. I didn't install the game.
Did you do any time trial?
I looked at the time trials to see where you guys were. I wasn't interested in the time trials.
Bullshit.
After the frustration I went through playing that game, I was not interested in doing that time trial at all. I was just, oh, God, I didn't want to do that. But I enjoyed what I played. I liked it. I was.
Do you think dudes shoot at you too much? That's what I think. But
I think they do.
Think
you know
that.
What? I think they do. I was going for the test of faith achievement, which is like don't fire a single shot at anybody.
Yeah.
Which there were times that I was really tempted to say fuck that.
Which motherfuck that game for not giving me my trophy for that because I didn't shoot anybody.
Something happened,
but it wasn't me shooting an enemy.
I don't know why. Something happened. I'm not sure.
Speaking of not shooting enemies, I got my Akimbo Assassin in Left 4 Dead. The pistols only through the
oh,
whole
yeah.
campaign. God, that was hard.
The whole campaign?
I mean,
not just
well,
a single part
well,
of
no,
it?
Well, by the whole campaign, I mean the five chapters that comprise a campaign. But when I was playing with the MoveFat guys, two of us went pistols. I mean, we played it on normal because we knew it was going to be, I mean, you know, we thought it was going to be tough. But two of us, I think, end up with it. But here's the kicker. You got to get on the, you've got to make it off. Like if you,
oh shit.
If your dude dies in the last part and you don't get to escape, you don't get the achievement.
Fuck.
Yeah, because that's what happened. One of us and the other two of us got it, and I was like, oh, that sucks, dude. Like, and the worst part about it was he made it to the dock. Like, we got on the boat, we were trying to shoot the hunter off of him, we just couldn't do it fast enough.
I was about to get off the boat to go see him.
Damn.
I can, if I can shoot the hunter from on
never
the boat.
Never get off the boat. Right. Never get off the boat.
Never get off the boat.
You know what, so back to Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, sorry,
I think, I think the guys shooting at you was a little much. I think the amount of combat it forced you to go into was way too much. It never should force me. Like, there was an area where I had to open a door. Like, I was on a ship, and she has to turn the wheel to open the door, but there's four guys in the room. There's no way I could do that without taking care of those guys first.
No, that was what we were saying before. There's very specifically, like, there's even roof segments where the only way off the roof is to climb a pipe. And it's like, you absolutely, positively must kill these guys, because you cannot get off that pipe without dying. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the point. They make it very clear. Your handler says the same thing. Yeah. Looks like you're going to have to fight it out.
Right.
And it's like,
what difficulty did you play on?
I set it on easy. I didn't want to have to deal with anything. No, I'm serious. I did that
good
on
for you.
Because it didn't affect what the main core gameplay of that game is supposed to be.
I still think that's fine. I just
And you just like to laugh at Scott. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. This is again just a guess, and I'm not saying it's. I still get it because it does fix certain issues, but at the same time, I recognize the tension that the guys add. And the way that they change how... It's not so much that it makes the jumps harder. The distance between the buildings does not increase based on your difficulty.
Right, right.
But how much time you're willing to sit there, like, lining up the perfect run, how much time you can devote cognitively to the best path when you're panicking about getting shot in the back.
Right.
You know, the psychological change.
It was even worse
might
when they
be,
send the...
Might be noteworthy. But that's person to person.
Yeah.
You know, gameplay to gameplay, like, for each person. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't like it when they incorporated the runner cops.
Yeah.
Who basically have the same kind of abilities you do, which is like, okay, it's not a point that you just jumped across this building, because we can do that too.
Yeah.
Because I would hear the footsteps, extra footsteps, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And you don't have time to turn around and look to see what's...
No. They're always right behind you.
It's like, I just keep going. One of them will sucker punch me in the back or do a jump kick because I'm not fast enough or whatever. And I loved that feel, because it really felt like, okay, I'm running away from these guys and that sort of thing. I talked to Dana, and she's like, how'd you like it? And I said, you know, it's short, but I'm glad it's short, because by the time I got done with that game, I'm tired of doing this.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's over with. So I would love to see another one. I know there's been speculation that they may not do another one because sales were kind of poor. But I would love to do this again in a different area. I would still love to do this. I really enjoyed it. I intend
to go back and do time trials at some later point in time.
I don't even see the need for there to be another one of those necessarily. Not that I've finished it and can see the end of the story. But let's assume that there's no need for the narrative to continue. Or even for the character to continue. I got no problem with the game sitting there and just being... Here's this game. It is not necessarily open-ended. It is not necessarily something we want to develop further, regardless of sales. If you want to take it as a, obviously, a proof of, like, a really robust concept and apply the concept somewhere else, like a spiritual successor to it, a spiritual sequel, I think that's better. Let's not tease this thing out into some sort of, broken chain of, like, things. It's just very weird. It's so unique and so specific that it's kind of like a lot of the speculation about what we're going to see in a second Assassin's Creed. Like, how do you
do another one?
So such a strong flavor, like such a very specific and strong flavor. What do you do in a sequel in terms of both gameplay and story?
Honestly, I wish the game industry was filled with a lot more spiritual successors. Yeah. Like, say, Ico to Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
I'd like to see something like a successor like that to Mirror's Edge, to the
rather
concept.
Rather than literal successor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a much,
instead
much
of
better
number two
way of doing it.
You're much more constrained with what you can do and very limited, and you don't end up with as much...
Like, I don't see they could do a sequel to Braid.
Right.
You could do that other game in the same vein.
I like new things,
and
there's a lot less new things in sequels than there are in...
But what's funny is that I like things that work.
Yes.
And a lot of times there seems to be this understanding that if you make a sequel, stuff has to change. And a lot of times the things that change are maybe not the things that should have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas if each time you were simply taking the concept and applying it to a new situation, you've not done anything to, well, I mean, you know, a sequel to Mirror's Edge would have no effect on Mirror's Edge. It's still what it is.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it doesn't necessarily demand a sequel.
Isn't it interesting, like, you can take a game that's a spiritual successor to something that came before, say, BioShock.
Right.
You know, spiritual successor to System Shock 2. And it has much more in common with it than, say, Deus Ex 2 has with Deus Ex 1.
That's very true.
Or 3 will probably have with either one of them.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
Because of the desire or perceived need to change things.
Well, and you're not beholden to the name.
Yeah.
You know, there's no namesake relationship. So maybe it is a better way to go all the way around. Maybe when we finally see whatever the hell the successor or sequel is to Assassin's Creed, we'll know for sure how that actually works out. Because I still don't... As much as I personally liked the game, you know, yeah, I know it was repetitious.
We were told before it was
I had
released.
A lot of fun repeating those things, so
yeah.
Whatever.
We were
told
that
was
before
just
that
me.
Game was released, it's going to be a trilogy. So we knew what we were expecting. We were, like, expecting a cliffhanger story ending or something like that that's going to progress into the next one. But when we realized the concept of the story or how they were doing what they were doing, it's like, well, how do you move
Well, it's not even that. It's like, this dude is a very specific kind of dude
mm-hmm.
who does his, like, wall-crawling crazy business in a very specific kind of place. That doesn't... I mean, unless you're Spider-Man or unless it's some kind of fucking Ninja Gaiden or something like that, like, doing what he's doing doesn't necessarily make the same kind of sense in any other setting.
Right.
So that's what really gets me. What is Assassin's Creed? Yes, it's a strange, like, conspiracy story, like, embedded in...
You played Altair for
early Middle Eastern and Christian mythology.
Actually,
Desmond. But the point is that what Assassin's Creed really was this very particular kind of simplified fighting game and an awful lot of crazy free-running, mm-hmm. like, you know, jumping puzzles. Like, I don't know. It was like, how does that apply to anything else? The story you could certainly put on top of anything else, I suppose. You could change what the game is, but... To sequelize what you know it to be. I don't know. It's just very weird. It's like, where else could you put it? When else could you put it when doing this kind of thing would make any kind of sense? You know what I mean? It would... I don't know. It seems to me like to make a proper sequel...
You'd have to reinvent the gameplay.
Exactly.
Well,
and that doesn't make sense for a sequel.
Right.
So...
But, you know...
On the other hand,
maybe that could be kind of neat.
Yeah.
You've got the Prince of Persia series.
Yeah.
Which is, you know... Ready to reinvent its gameplay.
Yeah.
Again, apparently.
That's
as well
these,
as
what
reinvent
when these
the characters.
Games do this.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, let's spit out number two. Well, shit. Number two, people liked, people didn't.
Yeah, you know what happens in sequels?
Do something different.
You give the prince fucking eyeliner, and he becomes extreme. And all of a sudden, you know, he's so extreme that they can't afford a good game.
Or no, wait.
Yeah.
You put Altair's costume
in
Prince of Persia, which is what they've done.
I mean, I'm willing to give benefit of the doubt to
that
this one.
That costume's gone places, man. It's been in Metal Gear Solid. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to go to Prince of Persia, which everybody thought it was even, you know, that's part of what it's...
Oh, yeah. Certainly it's there.
...grabbing its stuff from anyway, so... Yeah, so anyway, played Mirror's Edge, and then I picked up Tomb Raider, Underworld.
Right.
How's that going?
Played that. I'm enjoying it.
The
combat is, again, here's another game.
Did you get an email from the developer, from the publisher?
Told me not to talk about it.
Told you to say that you're enjoying it?
I did, when I asked him why, he's like, oh, this is our job.
Yeah.
This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to tell you not to, and what was your score again? It was a 7. Yeah, you can't talk about it until later. 8.0, that's fine. Could you bump it up to a 9 then talk about it? Sure.
You can talk about it last week if it's a 9.5.
No, I
would state your review.
Again, it suffers, I think, from the same thing that Mirror's Edge does. Know what your game is and don't deviate from that path.
Yeah.
They know what their game is, but then they throw in combat, which, again, thank you for putting in the player tailoring that they do, which is like, hey, how do you want, Lara to have more ammo than she normally does? Do you want the enemies to have
one shot kills all the way around?
Yeah. So what do I do for this? It's like, it's not going to make your puzzles any more difficult. So, boom, enemies get less health. And that was all I changed.
And you're an ammo hose.
Yeah.
No, I didn't up the ammo.
You didn't up the ammo.
If they have enough health with a game that gives you infinite ammo with your pistols,
that's true.
I don't need more ammo on anything else.
I don't know, man. More bullets moving around is a lot of fun. Even if it's just
for
spectacle. Huh?
Not in a game for Tomb Raider, though.
Well, as long as
you don't care about the combat anyway.
As long as all the bullets coming out, like, result in, you know, one quick death.
Yeah, exactly. I want this part of the game to be over with as soon as possible so I can get back over there and grab that skull and put it on the pedestal and turn the gear and that'll raise
Watch
the
out for that one platform and then jump over to the thing and then...
Yeah.
Certainly, because that's what it's about.
Swing but you know what? Interestingly enough, you bring up Two Human. Again, we had mentioned this. Norse mythology, again.
Yeah, I know. Really? I say, it's...
Yes!
It's around.
No. It's so much more, not necessarily... They talk about the world tree in Underworld.
Well, I had understood that it was going to be very...
There's this weird relation with Norse mythology and the color blue. And neon blue, to be exact. And interesting little markings, like Two Human has the little cybernetic little markings. Oh. That exists in some way.
Yeah, that's a real style trend, actually.
You know what? I'm all for games with more Norse mythology references.
Yeah, it's...
That's what this is
about.
Well,
I may have to pick up Tim here.
Because you're searching for Thor's hammer.
Ah, well, sweet.
To get into Avalon. Or to get into...
Valhalla?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was that, and then I was like, Ragnarok? No, they mentioned Ragnarok, but no, that was the battle.
No, it's not.
Yeah, you don't get into Ravalon. That's not. Unless you're talking about the club,
right?
In which case, you can get into that. You just gotta shoot some dudes.
But yeah, there's Norse mythology all over this game. That's all it's about. I mean, you go to Mexico, but turns out
you don't want to go to Mexico no more, more, more.
No, it's just that you go to these places that you would think have no relation to Norse mythology.
Because
apparently, underground of Mexico, there's a big Thor cave.
Thor cave!
That's probably not true. Well, I have a feeling that that's most likely not true.
You think they may have made that up?
Yeah.
For the game?
I think they would do something like that
for a Tomb Raider game?
We've talked about, I don't know if we've ever talked about it on air. If we have, it was way back whenever they had first announced Underworld. I was like, is this going to continue our story from...
Yeah, well, there's a bit of a cliffhanger at the end of the other one.
Well, no, it totally does. Not only that, it goes back into further games and brings back more
concepts.
Oh, that's
cool. Well, that's really great, then. I think I would like to play it.
There is a trailer at the beginning.
When do you fight the T-Rex?
In Anniversary. there's a trailer in... If you go into Options, you go to Extras, before you even start the game, you can look at the... Whatever, the preview trailer for E3 or something like that, and you can look at the credits. But the other one is previously on. You click on that one, and it goes through a big montage of everything that will be related in this game from previous games. Not just Legend.
Right.
Or Legend, but even before.
Don't make my mistake.
Ah, that's pretty great.
So, it's totally tied into. I've enjoyed it. Again, combat sucks, but that's what we know from Tomb Raider games. So, yeah.
That's
and, again,
awesome.
It's another short game.
So, what are we... where are we at? I get the sense, and I think I'm mostly right, we're... Regardless of what we've actually had time to play, as far as, like, dealing with release schedules, we're almost...
I think we're done.
Done.
We're done.
What do we got?
It depends on what you consider, but...
We got...
Sonic came out this week. Prince of Persia's
out. The crappy Sonic?
Yeah.
Prince of Persia comes out on the 4th.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking that's the last thing
I'm really looking forward
to. That's the only thing left after that. Gamefly says that Rise of the Argonauts comes out on the 16th of December.
Okay.
You'd have to really consider that to be a major release if you really want to count it in there. But
mostly everything's just about on our plates
we're
now.
We're pretty much done.
So, I mean, I think that there's an awful lot of...
I say you're done. We're done with releases. We're not done with the games that...
Certainly not.
No.
I mean, we're going to be playing that.
But that's why I'm glad we're done
year.
With releases. Shit.
Yeah. So you can...
You got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it.
Of course, I say that, and then, like, you know, mid-February I'll come around, and I'll be like, shit, there ain't
so
shit to play.
Looking back on that, how many of these releases did you buy?
I think that's a terrible question to ask, particularly... I've only bought...
But I'm a buyer kind of guy.
I'm a buyer kind of guy, too, but not now. Not anymore.
Not when I've got my Blockbuster rentals, not when I've got my Gamefly rentals.
It's not even that. I mean, those things were there before. It's just a question of...
Complete discovery.
I don't know, man. Like, I would love to. Like, Mirror's Edge, great game, like, really great thing, but I'm sorry. Like, at some point, I have to start thinking about the fact that... And I certainly have no problems with it. Because I know you bought it, and under different circumstances, I probably would have as well. I'm just using it as an example of something that you can absolutely whoop its ass in a night.
Yep.
You can do it while waiting on the pizza. I can't necessarily, like, legitimize that with bucks. $65 fucking.
Yep. Mm.
Like, Fallout?
Oh, I mean, man, I understand.
Like,
completely.
Spend your money on Fallout because you've been playing that game for a minute. Like, there's a lot of shit for you to do in there. Obviously, like, Fable the MMOs that I play, for, yeah. You know, like, get my whatever, like, that's a thing. Fable 2, possibly, depending on to whatever degree you want to deviate from them.
Well, your experience is different, yes.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. Just
I
like,
mean, even if you do play the game, if you just blaze through the story, you can do it pretty quick.
Yeah. So it's just, it's a thing, and it's like, well, you know, and there is this, you know, the terrifying, overarching feeling of, like, there's just not as much money and ease in the world right now as there right. was a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you what, so, I got way more money than I did this time last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year I was...
Go economy!
I was fucking swimming in money last year, I just didn't have time. Obviously, you can really have one or the other. Because I had plenty.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like...
Yeah.
But not a second to spare.
I had a lot more free time last year. I didn't have
but
a wife.
Yeah, I've only bought like two things so far out of the holiday season. More stuff I intended for a long time to like let it come out and then buy it later. There were some things that were already pre-relegated to the to the top of the year list, but yeah, very very little in comparison to last year.
Mine were Saints Row 2, Fallout 3.
Oh man, it's all
Fable 2 and Left 4 Dead. That's what I bought, and I bought it all from GameFly. Well, with the exception of Left 4 Dead. I picked that up because I put down the pre-order to get into the early release demo. But yeah, I only bought four games. I don't plan on, God, Mirror's Edge. Yeah, no.
I bought
exactly
four.
Right. Tomb Raider is looking at the same thing. You've got no extra, you don't even have time trial modes in Tomb Raider as far as comparing them with other people.
Really?
And it's, no. I mean,
do you have them at all?
No, yes, you do.
Okay, I was going to say, because the Legend had them,
yeah.
Which was actually pretty goddamn cool for
you
a Tomb Raider
You can go
game.
Back. And do the you can go back and do once you're done with the game, you can do something called Treasure Hunter mode, which puzzles are all fixed or solved, whatever the case. You don't have to deal with puzzles and you don't have to deal with enemies. You're just walking around looking for
secret
shit you missed.
Okay.
While you were playing.
That's
so
pretty cool.
They put that in there, and of course you got your speed runs through the levels you can do as well.
Right.
But yeah, it's still a very short game. It's long in the sense that, again, like Mirror's Edge, you're like, well, where do I go? What do I do? But, you know, once you're done with that, it turns out to be a pretty short game, lengthwise. It's not very long at all. So, yeah. So you're looking at something like Fallout 3, get your money worth like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, and I don't even mean to dissuade anybody else. That's purely a value thing. Like, you decide it for yourself. There's nothing wrong with buying them. There's a lot right with buying them. It's just... Everybody kind of has to make their own decisions.
Yeah, and about what makes you buy games versus what makes you...
Yeah. Chrono Trigger came out.
It's different.
That's right.
And, you know, honestly, if I haven't bought any of the games for myself anyway from this season. But if there's any one I do end
Fable
up...
too.
Yeah, but like I said, I haven't bought
for
any
yourself.
For me.
That's true.
If there was one I was going to buy, and I may end up buying it later, maybe in the spring, it's Mirror's Edge. Because I do see myself wanting to go back and run through that again and again and again.
Not me.
I do want to go back
it,
and
I don't want to do it anymore.
I mean, I want to go back and do more in Fallout. But when I'm done with Fallout, I'm done with Fallout, and I ain't ever putting it back in my system. I want to put Mirror's Edge back in my system several times.
So when you do, you're on PS3. Never mind. I was going to say when you do, load it to the hard drive. And,
yeah, not so much.
You go through there.
Yeah, for me, a lot of it is about building a collection, and that's what makes me buy games versus rent them. Is what do I want in a collection? Like, what games do I like? Maybe not necessarily in terms of replayability, but I just really like what they did, and I want to own it because I think it's really what they did is really cool. And that's where Mirror's Edge falls for me. Is, you know, I understand that when I finish it, I'm probably not going to go back to it. I mean, and it is a short game, but I really like the design concepts, like a lot of the stuff they did gameplay-wise. Their art direction, I think, is great in terms of the level design. You know, so that's something I want on my shelf. Because
totally
of that.
Understandable.
So
that's a legitimate.
I tend to pull things out. A handful of games, you know. I mean, I'm just going
to
buy it because I know we're going to play a lot. But most stuff to me is like, do I want this in my collection of games or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I used to do that quite a bit.
And I mean, given you know, given the budget, I think it's a great thing to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I like it. I do it a lot less now than I used to, simply because I value the experience more than the thing.
Having the thing.
The things used to hold more value. The notion of collectability, and this is an entirely different conversation, but it's why I don't buy this way anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, Black Label versus Greatest Hits PS1 games, or Super Nintendo cartridges. Like, these things were, for various reasons, available in such finite quantities that... And they were never... There was no purely digital counterpart. There was no budget counterpart at some level. Even when there was a budget counterpart, particularly for, like, Greatest Hits things, in some situations it would actually drive the price up of the original, or usually down, but sometimes the other way. So as a thing of collectability, it's not really it. Buying it, as pragmatical as this is, it really, it's about how much time I'm going to spend with it. I regret not buying a Bad Company. The amount of time that we spent with that game, and you know,
I own
there's
that.
A, there's Dana a good still point misses your multiplayer, you know, conglomerate. They played it, and then another stuff came.
Nobody plays Bad Company on my friends list anymore.
Well, that's the thing. Even when we were playing it, like, it wasn't a friends list. It wasn't popular on the friends list.
Really? Yeah. It was on mine. My friends list is really shooter heavy.
Yeah. I mean, but that was the thing. I was a little surprised that it wasn't. Occasionally, I would see one or two, but... Not really. I remember Dana had to, in past episodes, she was like
begging
for people to get on her friends list who were playing that game. And I found like a really, it was very active. The multiplayer was extremely active. Like there were always a lot of people playing, and it was a lot of fun. Like really, really good. I hope they follow suit with that and do pretty much that again.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they did a really good job.
So, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, here we are at the end. Now everybody can start...
You know what I just realized?
...finishing what they want to play for the year.
It's like books for me a lot of times.
Yeah.
I never go to the library, even though there's, like, a giant building full of books I can just, like, read for free. I always buy books. How many of those books have I ever gone back and read?
Yeah.
Very few.
I do the same thing.
Of course, books are like $7 for a paperback.
It's true.
That's true.
An expensive.
But it's
if
the
they
same,
were, if
it's
books
the same
were,
ideal.
If books were $60, I'd probably spend a lot more time at the library.
Yeah. Well,
streaming them.
And I mean, you know, what the hell's a hardback? Like a hardback's like 25.
Yeah, hardback's
30. Mm-hmm. Like I mean, even that's like, that's a cheap ass video game.
Yeah.
So,
No, most of my book money is spent on the $14.95 trade paperback. Most of the things I read are I have a tendency to wind up in like trade paperback or something. Mm-hmm. So somewhere between $6 and $15 is what I spend. And even, you know, if I read it fast, that's still a few days.
Your hourly rate.
You don't get a used game at that price until almost a year or so, maybe more.
Well,
after.
And I gotta tell you though, just as not that this has much to do with anything, because we're totally talking about books now, but if I treated my video games the same way I treat my books, like, that's one of the reasons I can't read someone else's books. Ah. Like, I'm not intentionally cruel to my books, but, like, you know, that trade paperback gets rolled up and, like, stuck in my back pocket, or, like, thrown in a bag somewhere, and I dog-ear the shit out of pages. Like, the book is a...
It gets a lot of love for me.
It's because it's a physical thing. Because it's the tangibility and that very specific feel of paper, which is something that I honestly hope never dies, it's very personal to me. And, like, breaking the spine and making sure it's nice and comfy and, like, you know, like, keeping it the way, like...
I'm so the opposite of you.
Making it very...
You keep them all pristine.
I dread the moment where I get in that midway point of the book.
And he goes...
Because I have to bend that front cover so
my
much
right
so
hand,
I don't damage
but
the
like
spine.
My right hand gets cramped trying to hold the spine together.
See, and the reason that I don't even understand that approach is because... If it's my book, I mean, somebody else's book, that's fine. That's one of the reasons I don't borrow books, because I'm very uncomfortable reading that way. But, like, it should be with me whenever I want it to be with me. And it's mine. And the experience I have running my hands and my eyes over those words and those pages is intensely mine. and like what happens between me and that book. It's a personal thing, even beyond like how you spend time with a game or a movie or something like that that you like. It's very real. It's very tangible, and it's something that I have like a connection to and a respect for that isn't equaled anywhere else. And I can look back at old novels that I have, like old Vonnegut or all like the entire 21 books of the Aubrey Maturin series. And like I can flip through them all and see like places where I dog-eared the pages, and like, you know that like obviously I was reading this book when I was running a play because every third page is dog-eared.
Yeah,
because I would get a little ways and then like have to close it and throw it, you know, and like all of that wear and tear, all of that inadvertent loving destruction that the book has suffered is time. It's a mark of time. Mm-hmm. I spent with that book.
Not only do you have that. Your experience of the book, but your experience with the book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, Dana is just like you guys. Like, she can read a book, and I swear to Christ, she just bought it. She can spend a month reading a book, and it suffers no damage.
Well, it comes from having been a comic book collector when I was in junior high.
I think it's from my experience with comic books, where it was like, okay, you have to be very careful.
But the thing is, I'm not.
Make sure your hand doesn't get sweaty.
Because they have.
I'm not a psycho about it, and because I know that they don't retain value, I have no problem like loaning my books out to friends, knowing that they're going to come back with broken spines and everything. That's totally fine. But I can't be the one to do it for some reason.
That's very weird. Yeah, I can't.
I have no intention to resell a book. Like, dear God, those are all mine, and I'm keeping them forever.
Even sometimes if you go to like a used bookstore. Like, you pick it up, and it's like, you know, it's like...
That's somebody else's.
It's brilliant because it's like, it's got a little roll in the heel, you know? It's got a little, like, a little bit of the polish rubbed off, you know? It's like, there is a history with this book. Like, somebody got the whole frickin', you know... telemetry that the author was trying to like shove at him through these pages. They got the whole fucking magic of what this book is doing. It's something that really only books can do. And that, you know, a part of me is still quite sad that video games can't. The thing that you can only get from a book. Man, somebody else got that. And like, no, I'm going to get it. You know, it's like, it's very good. It's like really weird and like kind of strangely potent voodoo for me. I feel a very specific way about it. If I put a book away and, like, some bitch isn't already kind of frayed at the corners and stuff like that, I don't feel like anything really happened there between me and that book. Yeah. A good book after I'm done with it, you know, always looks we went six rounds in the ring.
One of the coolest things that I think I've ever found, like, at a used bookshop, I got it for my sister for Christmas once. It was, like, a collected Shakespeare work, like an old printing, and there's, like, a little love note in it. Like, dated, like, 39.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going, like, this is, like, pre-war, like, dude probably went to the war. Like, after he gave this book, well, probably not.
Surely,
but,
that's
know.
Intense.
But, yeah. You know, like, stuff like that, like, and you just don't have that with games.
Yeah, hopefully everybody else out there.
I think I'm going to start making notes in my manuals in games.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Well, I get that you don't have, well, yeah, you're right. You rented games, you'll get that.
Oh, yeah, that did used to be a thing. That did definitely used to be a thing. But
people would write in that little note section. They would write in the back of
their cards. That's true. I totally forgot about renting games. Yeah, man. People would like.
Yeah, I was like, that was a really cool piece of archaeology.
Back during Planet Games, you know, sometimes people would trade in their old manuals and you pull them open and they'd have like drawn little maps of you know different dungeons and stuff.
Well, and that's sort of along as another element of that same archaeology, like something that you absolutely don't get anymore was. It was something unique to the cartridge era of game rentals, which was somebody else's save would still be on that.
Yes.
Would still be on that cartridge. You'd load up that cartridge and, like, you know, there's, like, the three slots for different characters.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the top, like, maybe, like, the top two slots are, like, maxed out and you're like, oh.
Uh-huh.
I could flip to the last page, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
But
I did that a few times.
Well, yeah.
Particularly when I was renting, I was like,
Yeah.
You get close to it. Like, you get into the room, and you're just like, let's just see what it is.
Yeah.
But now I will say though, it brought in kind of like an interesting thing is because like I would never ever even on a rented game like I'd never override anybody's save on like a rented cartridge. Man, that was theirs, and I'm not gonna mess with that. Like I will leave that as like a marker of like right. I would find Joe
the,
was here.
Yeah, I would find the last if it didn't have the op. If you didn't, you know, sometimes they only give you here's the three spaces.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
save over the one
limited number
hasn't
of spaces.
Made it
the one
very
that hasn't
far.
Made it yes. the bar this year, exactly. cut off the list. Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, if some guy obviously has every item and every heart container or what have you,
I was like God, he's legend now. He's
whoever, he's staying on this list.
Whoever JD is,
yeah. little names.
So that was yeah, that's funny. We got
no, I found that with DS games though. When I ran one from Gamefly, I ran one from Gamefly. I ran the whatever it was, Advanced Wars, and there's a save there. I left it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll wrap it up. Right. I was gonna say,
yeah,
when
sorry
you said
to
somebody
become the in-game chat book club all of a sudden.
yeah, like, you know, whatever.
Hey, you know, for what it's worth,
books
though,
are serious business.
Whatever, like I know we don't talk about them, but like you know, we're all pretty. To varying degrees, but like we all have different backgrounds and everything. I'm personally like a very furious reader. So, which is one of the reasons why so many of my critiques of games have to do with narrative. Like, yes, yeah, well. The gameplay, whatever the gameplay, it's only a game. I don't know what the gameplay. Let's talk about story.
Talk about story.
So that's obviously where I'm coming from. But yeah, it's everybody yeah. should. You really should go read something. Every
read
now
books.
And if you don't,
dear God.
I'm just saying.
Play games and
well,
read
what
books.
What I love is when they write books that are related to the games. The Halo series.
That's. Know? So,
it should
okay.
be okay.
Yeah.
All right, okay. I'll give you another example. The Myst series, which was about books.
Yeah, that's
about
better.
About the writing
that's
of
better.
The books.
That's to, better.
You know, yeah. And then I'll they released a story based on those books or whatever the case. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's great because I love them.
Like, I don't care. They can read the Halos as long as they get you reading books.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'll read books, play games.
End of the book.
And you read the Mass Effect thing, the Mass Effect prequel book.
I did. That was like a little piece of like... cheap candy for me. Yeah. Not like certainly not like, oh my God, I think this is going to be magnificent. Only because it was like, oh, this is a segment of the story that you're not going to tell in the game.
Yeah.
They were very clear about
I
that
love
ahead
the
of time.
The lead-in so. Of those things. I love it when yeah. it's like, hey, we've got a game coming out, but we're releasing a... again, it's like, oh my God, here's gamers who do nothing but game, but we're going to put it in a book.
Well, it's
know,
a,
for them to...
It's
know.
A thing, and it's a better...
It's also sci-fi related.
Well, and, so. And what I was saying, like what I said before, there's things you can do in a book that you simply... You still can't... We haven't figured out how to do in a game, and we probably won't. The same way that movies have never quite figured out how to
capture a book.
Yeah, it's yeah. They're different. They
different media.
They need to do their things.
There's something to be said about what you had said. Where hey, I saw this book, and I realized that this guy gets it. It goes back to what we mentioned a minute ago. Was Braid? That is one of the most interesting ending game discussions that I've ever been involved with, because nobody knew the right. There was no right interpretation of that ending.
Yeah.
It was so wonderfully done that whatever you thought of...
Yeah, you're looking in a mirror.
...is very plausible.
Yeah, you're looking in a mirror at the end of something like that.
Yeah.
You're seeing what...
Yeah.
What you see.
You're seeing yourself, so... Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we're just, here we are
way
doing
over,
our thing.
We're sorry,
totally,
way
totally
over,
sorry
about
that.
We're just having a lot of fun.
We just killed
the we want to make a show note that we won't have an episode at the end of this week.
Yes, we've got one more coming
to you. We'll deliver a Wednesday episode.
Just real quick, we're less than $100 away from $4,000 on our Child's Play Drive.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I mean, we know where everybody is at. Obviously, we've spent a portion of tonight talking about economic woes and everything, but we'd still really, I mean, we'd really like to hit our goal. We got like 3 weeks left. So give if you can when you can. Yeah. Much appreciated. Obviously, we have things to give you when you do. So, sorry we ran over, but, you know,
hope
it's
you
all good.
It.
Hope you're enjoying playing whatever it is that you've got your hands on right now.
Or reading, whatever it is.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So we'll talk to you in
see
a couple
you at
more
the
days.
Book club in a couple days.
Yeah.